Give not place to the devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Michaelmas, the feast of Saint Michael and all the angels, brings me some little sad memories. It was the vigil of Saint Michael, September 28, 1994, when a cruise ferry, MS Estonia, sank in the Baltic Sea in the Finnish coast area. It is the deadliest peacetime shipwreck to have occurred in European waters. 852 lives were lost, which means 86% of those on board died either by drowning or freezing to death. It was after this accident when many people were heard asking, "Where were you, God, when Estonia sank? And where were the angels?" This kind of talk is often repeated whenever there is a big catastrophe where many innocent lives are lost. But it does not happen only to the people of the world. Pious people might be tempted to this kind of speech as well. Bishop Sanborn once had a parishioner, a lady who was extremely pious, came faithfully to the Mass and fulfilled her duties in life punctually. But then her husband died, and she stopped attending. Later, when asked, she told the bishop that she had lost her faith when her husband died. She could not believe that God could be so cruel to take him away from her life. A mother, too, who has lost a child, either on the earth or in the womb, knows that in the midst of heart-tearing sorrow, it's hard saying to believe the words of our Lord, "I say to you that their angels in heaven always do see the face of my Father, which is in heaven." So where is God when bad things happen? Or could there be another question we should ask? Who is God? This is the question where we get the name of the leader of the good angels, Saint Michael. When God gave his first command to the newly created angels, some of them did not do right. With Satan as their leader, each of those angels used his free will to say, "I will not obey God." And at once there was war between them and the good angels. Satan, he was filled with pride and every sort of cruel wickedness. Saint Michael, at the same time, was filled with love of God. He had loved God from the moment he began to live, for he was thankful to God, who had made him out of nothing, had given him sanctifying grace, and had made him a child of God with the right to heaven. A holy anger arose in Michael when Satan dared to rebel and insult God. The great angel Michael cried out to Satan, "Who is like God?" Saint John tells us what happened. He calls Satan a dragon because the devil is strong and cruel, a serpent because he is full of the poison that ruins the souls. Here's what Saint John writes: "And there was made a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And that great dragon was cast forth, the old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, which seduceth the whole world. And he was cast into the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Who is like God? Certainly not us or the devil. Why did God make us? God made us to show forth his goodness and to share with us his everlasting happiness in heaven. We are not made to stay in this world, but are meant to lead by our guardian angels into heaven. Do you remember the gospel of the first Sunday of Lent? Is not the talk of the world just what the devil asked? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written that he will give his angels charge of thee, and in their hands shall they hold thee up, lest perhaps thou knock thy foot against a stone. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The one who was cast down wants us to do so as well. Whenever evil things happen, people ask, where was God? Where were the angels? But Jesus answered to the devil, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We shouldn't therefore ask, where is God? We know that he is everywhere, both in good days and in bad days. Heavenly Father was always with Jesus, his son, through the ministry of his angels. When our Lord was born at midnight on first Christmas in the freezing cold of the night, the angels were around his crib and told the news to the shepherds. When the devil had finished his temptations of Christ, because he saw it was in vain, as Saint Matthew writes, behold, angels came and ministered to him. Heavenly Father was with Jesus also at Gethsemane at the start of his passion. Our Lord was so stricken with sorrow and fear that he prayed, Father, if thou wilt, transfer this chalice from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done. And Saint Luke writes, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. So you see, even our Lord had his own guardian angel. And when Saint Peter wanted to defend our Lord from being captured, he reproached him, saying, thinkest thou that I cannot ask my Father, and he will give me presently more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that so it must be done? If we ever are tempted to say, why does God not send his angel that I or my child would not knock the foot against the stone? We can think, what if our Lord would have asked from his Father to send 12 legions of angels? They could and would have delivered him from being mocked, spat, tortured, and crucified. But what then would have been come of us? We would be lost. It was through this holy sacrifice of Calvary, where our Lord shed his precious blood, that we have life and remission of our sins. Without this, we would have no chance of going to heaven. Ourselves, our children, all of our families and friends would be lost forever in hell, and there's nothing we could do about it. So we can never listen to the devil if he tries to tempt us to rebel. It is easy when things do not go as we wish that we give away to anger. Today we hear in the epistle, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. A vice in which people are much addicted is that of anger. In today's epistle, Saint Paul does not advise men to become angry, but in the case they do, they should take care not to sin. But injustice, rebellion against God, that should lead us to anger. Anger is sinful only when there is no cause for it, when it is out of proportion, or when it is a mere expression of cruelty. Saint Michael, and even our Lord himself, were justly angry on occasion. When Jesus entered the synagogue and the Pharisees were thinking evil of him, that would he dare to cure a man on a Sabbath, our Lord was sorrowful for the blindness of their hearts, and, as the Bible says, looking round about upon them with anger. The devil, not God, is truly the enemy, the arch-enemy of mankind. That's why St. Paul today tells us, give not place to the devil. To give place to the devil is to give him free rein or room to act. Given any opportunity at all, the devil will do destruction in souls which should live the new life of grace. And one of the reasons we come to St. Gertrude's is because we don't want to give up. We leave no place to the devil because we are at war and St. Michael is leading us. The Bergoglio-led clergy, whose immoral actions are much in the news now, they are the ones who have taken the faith and the Mass away. They might approve the Latin Mass, but only on their own conditions, which means compromising the faith. Never give in to the temptation to believe them. Leave no place to them, because we are at war. What do you think General Eisenhower would have said if the Germans in World War II would have told him that you are only allowed to advance to Paris, but not any further than that? Whoever heard of a war where you are only allowed to advance as far as your enemy allows you? No, the Allied armies marched right into Germany and bombed and burned that evil empire into ashes. In our war, our enemy does not appear dressed as a German army officer, but as St. Paul writes, for false apostles are crafty workers, transfiguring themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transfigureth himself into an angel of light. We cannot reduce these false apostles into ashes. God will, in his justice, take care of that at the hour of his convenience. But we must give no place for them in our sanctuaries when they wage war to take our faith and our Mass away. And God has given us all the weapons we need in this war, most importantly, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which we must cherish as our greatest treasure, both for the sake of our souls and that of our children, and in reparation for all the horrible things going on in the world. It was in the midst of the First World War, about a year before the three Fatima children were visited by Our Lady, when they were visited three times by an angel who represented himself as the Angel of Peace, and whom we know through the Church to be Saint Michael. He appeared to the Fatima children, beautiful, resplendent, dazzling, hovering in the air before them. He held in one hand a chalice, and in the other over it a host, and kneeling on the flat rock, held the host up, saying, "Take and drink the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, horribly insulted by ungrateful men. Make reparation for their crimes and console your God." And the children saw drops of blood falling from the host into the chalice. The angel placed it on the tongue of Lucia, and to Jacinta and Francisco, who had not received the first communion, he presented the chalice and they drank of it. At the end, he prostrated himself on the ground and said the prayer of reparation 3 times, and the children repeated that with him. Then, for the last time, the angel of peace faded away into the shimmering sunlight. Our angel, too, always sees the face of our Father in heaven, and one day he will come to get us. To that journey, you don't need to book a ticket. To that journey, there is no long and tiring car drive to get to Sunday Mass. And on that trip, there is neither our beloved spouse or our dear children to accompany us. It will be only our own soul and our own guardian angel. If we know who is God, we can expect to depart in peace of soul and mind from this world. And we can already now call our guardian angel in prayer, asking him to come and get us and retire us from war in whatever hour God would choose. Angel of peace, may I never cause thee to weep bitter tears over me. O my celestial guide, I wish to invoke thee at all times. In affliction thou wilt dry my tears. In danger thou wilt bear me on thy wings. In temptation thou wilt preserve my innocence. In my falls thou wilt inspire me with repentance. Finally, at my last hour, thou wilt console me in my sorrows and introduce me into the eternal tabernacles. May God bless you, and may your angels keep and protect you always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.